Hi, I'm Fola Fagbule.
And I'm Faye Fawemi.
Welcome to our podcast, where we explore the themes and ideas in our forthcoming book titled Formation, The Making of Nigeria from Jihad to Amalgamation. Formation is being published by Cassava Republic and should be available to the public from the 1st of October 2020, inshallah. Over the next few weeks and months, we look forward to interacting with you online and hopefully in person soon.
Each episode of our podcast will focus on one theme, idea, event, or character that we covered in Formation, The Making of Nigeria from Jihad to Amalgamation. We'll also talk about how we went about doing the research and what we learned while doing so.
We really hope that this podcast will serve as a useful accompaniment to the Formation book itself when it comes out.
So let's get started.
Okay. We know that the river Niger is the central defining geographical feature of West Africa. I mean, in simple historical terms, the river is the raison d'etre for the existence of the eponymous country Nigeria, as well as the country Niger. Now, the river was an important ancient transportation artery, which led to its political, economic, and cultural importance, certainly for Nigeria. In this podcast, we will explore some themes around the river by way of a dialogue. Over to you, Faye.
Thanks, Fola. So my first question, what fascinating new insight did you gain into the subject of the river Niger while you were doing your part of the research for River of Rivers? Personally, I thought it was quite interesting how there's so many different peoples along the course of the river who speak different languages and all have different names for the river in their language, yet each name translates basically into Great River.
Yeah, I mean, that was very interesting to observe, just the cultural significance of the river to everyone up and down its banks. I found that very useful as well to learn about. For me, I think the key learning was just how central the river is to the existence of Nigeria. You know, as a child, I had traveled across the river many times with my family. So I knew of it, and I knew of its importance, certainly as a barrier to be overcome when you travel between eastern and western Nigeria. What I hadn't fully appreciated was just how much bigger, longer, broader, and altogether more impactful the Niger was to the formation of not just Nigeria, but several other countries in West Africa. It really is the single most important reason for the existence of Nigeria as a modern day nation. And this may be surprising to many Nigerians to hear me say that, because people often attribute other things to the existence of Nigeria. So, you know, in addition, people also talk about Nigeria being the most populous country in Africa. We talk about that a lot. Well, it's quite possible that the entire reason for that is that two mighty rivers are providing natural irrigation for such a massive swath of interior lands, you know, on the borders of the very arid Sahara Desert. And so humans have come from so many distant places to settle on and around the fertile valleys of the Niger and the Benue. And that's before we even get to talking about the historical importance of the river as a transportation artery between key locations all across West Africa, even long before the arrival of Europeans in the area. You know, it being a medium for the spread of culture, trade, empire, and ideas. So I was happy that we were able, in this opening chapter of our book, Formation, to provide an opportunity for people to explore this issue in some detail. As well, it gave us an opportunity to properly set the scene for the various events and occurrences throughout the narrative, because the river is just so central to all those events. And so without giving too much away, I would just say that I was happy that we were able to properly address the state of affairs on the river and the broader country in the pre-European times, before the white feet folks arrived in the area through the work that we did in this chapter.
Right, fascinating. Those are big claims. So basically, the river is the reason why Nigeria exists, and it's also the reason why we have such a large population. Interesting. Okay, before we go further, let me quick aside. I remember one thread someone did that went viral on Twitter last year, where a guy claimed to have been on a flight, or was it a lady? Claimed to have been on a flight with a professor, an American professor, who told them that the name of the river came from European slave traders who called it, quote unquote, nigger area or land of the black slaves. Do you want to tell him or should I?
Well, that's interesting. The first thing to tell them is to immediately pre-order Formation, the Making of
Yep,
Nigeria from
yep.
Jihad to Amalgamation as soon as Cassava Republic starts selling it. Because I think he has been sorely misadvised. In this chapter, River of Rivers, we trace the provenance of the name to its appropriate origins, which I think most people will be delighted to find are much less insidious, much more edifying, and probably more importantly, they significantly predate the European trade in African bodies, and so can't possibly be that can't possibly be the source of the name. I don't want to spoil it for our readers, but suffice it to say that we categorically debunk that nonsense.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So let's talk about some examples of peoples and places in the world that have been shaped by a domineering river in and around where they live. So the Nile is an obvious nearby example. It completely defines the lives and lifestyle of the Egyptians and the Sudanese, which we cover in the book as well. We touch on it in the book. Then you have a place like the United States, which is richly blessed with the Great Lakes in the Northeast. The Chesapeake Bay, and obviously the mighty Mississippi River, which, with human assistance via the Illinois and Michigan canals, basically connects the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico deep in the south. So, which other places, apart from the obvious ones, which other ones come to mind for you?
I mean, I think those are great examples. The Mississippi in particular, so important to the life and commerce and activity in the area that it drains. For me personally, I think one of my more enduring fascinations in this area is Israel. And there's a project called the National Water Carrier of Israel. Now, this is a man-made system which essentially connects the Sea of Galilee, which is in the north of Israel, to the more highly populated as well as arid southern regions of the country. And what it does is it complements the humbler resources of the Jordan River. In the process, this system allows the irrigation of a substantial amount of previously arid land for the purpose of multi-seasonal commercial agriculture. At least that was the original purpose. These days, it's mostly for drinking water. It was built in 5 years, completed in 1964, and that project was unbelievably transformational, and it essentially allowed the modern state of Israel to exist and flourish. In terms of what it actually consisted of, it's a complex combination of pipes, jam pipes, open canals, tunnels, reservoirs, large pumping stations, over a 130-kilometer route. So there are many other examples of projects like these. But I think, and even Israel itself has moved on to even more complex water sources, desalination in particular. But I do think it's instructive as a case study of seeing how, a determined group of humans decide to take a natural water system and make it work for their modern needs.
Right, fascinating. So that's interesting to learn about. I never actually knew about the National Water Carrier of Israel. So, to summarize your point, basically, it's not enough to have a natural resource. You still have to do some work to make it useful to you. Cool. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
So, we'd like to pause here a bit and talk about why we wrote Formation, the Making of Nigeria from Jihad to Amalgamation, and why we think this story is so important.
Neither of us is trained as a historian. We both work in financial services. But we share a belief that a careful understanding of history is fundamental to navigating the future. One thing I like to say is that the past is an ongoing business. With more information in the present, we can always go back in time to edit the past and what we know about it. The history of Nigeria is a great example of this, as it still affects the present. And if we don't understand it, the future is guaranteed to look just like the past.
Exactly. My biggest hope for formation is that it provides a nuanced and thoughtful starting point for many future journeys into the history of our culture, politics, and economics. We also hope that it will provide a basis for beginning a conversation that will help navigate a more advantageous future for the humans of Nigeria.
Excellent. Well, let's get back to the podcast. Right. Welcome back to the podcast. We had a quick detour to some other places with important waterways and rivers around the world. So let's turn back to the River Niger now, Fola. What in your mind is the most commonly misunderstood or least known fact or set of facts about the river and its influence in the formation of modern Nigeria? For me, I think most people misunderstand the things that make a river useful for economic development and the way some of those things are missing from the Niger. So say, for example, you have a country with an existing thriving industry that produces goods that need transporting. It then makes the river useful since it's the cheapest form of transportation. And then you can then get a virtual cycle between production and the river transportation. Also, if a river pours into an ocean, that will make it obviously easier to connect to the rest of the world. We have that as an advantage with the Niger River, but then that advantage can also be easily negated by having difficult natural harbors that are not easy to conquer. So, I mean, what are your thoughts? What do you think about that?
I mean, I think those are good points. Although the question does come, you know, does the river lead to you having a productive industry, or does having a productive industry lead to you making good use of a river? But I think those are good points regardless. You know, as we describe in formation, the Niger has been a really difficult road for its inhabitants to master. Part of this is purely due to climatic, geologic, and geographical factors. The limitations of its basins, the irregularity of rainfall over its course, and the inconsistency in its depth for modern navigational purposes, which is a point I think that you also make today. So we discussed this quite a bit in this chapter, River of Rivers. A difficult river to conquer has in all likelihood resulted in just that much more of an economic and political development challenge for the humans living around it. We talk about that a fair amount. You know, if you add to that the poor quality of the coastline, which you just alluded to, for the berthing of shipping vessels, that's a problem that we also describe in the book. Then you also add the fact of the arid Sahara Desert, which is bearing down on the northern extremes of the greater Niger-Benue River Valley. You begin to get the picture of a quite challenging neighborhood altogether. In short, Nigeria was never going to be an easy place to develop. And in this chapter, River of Rivers, in our book Formation, we are able to observe some of the various methods and strategies that were employed during the 19th century to live with this and other realities that people were faced with at the time.
Right. Interesting. Okay. So let's talk about how important the river still is today. It's the 12th longest river in the world, 4,200 kilometers long. But in terms of actual water volume, the amount of water in the river, it's only the 49th in the world. And something I found so strange and interesting is that the River Niger has less water than the Niagara, which is less than 60 kilometers long. In fact, two-thirds of the River Niger's water volumes are lost as it travels through Mali. It's only when it then gets to Nigeria that water volume is restored when it meets up with the Benue. Do you think this explains why it has not really played a role in economic development as one might expect of one of the great rivers of the world? There's also the issue of obviously sharp gradients, which create really steep falls in the way along the road the river travels, such that you can't really put a boat on that, compared to say the Mississippi River, which you talked about earlier, where I think I've read that it declines by just 4 inches per mile, so you can have a boat travel on that very, very smoothly, and obviously with all the attendant economic effects. So this brings us to that distinction between the length of a river and how navigable it really is. I mean, what does the current state of the river say about the future of Nigeria when you take all of this into account?
Those are great points. Navigability is so important in addition to length and the area that that a river traverses. And what we seem to have with the Niger and the Benue in modern day Nigeria is that they appear to still be no more than crude, geographical realities in modern Nigeria. Yes, they contribute to irrigating the respective valleys of of those rivers for subsistence agriculture, so sort of natural irrigation. Yes, indeed, hydroelectricity is being produced from dams erected at Kainji and Jeba. Oh, and by the way, also at Chiroro on a lake that is situated at the terminus of a tributary of the Niger called the Kaduna River. And we'll discuss the Kaduna River, very important in later chapters of our book Formation. But apart from these improvements that I've just talked about, things appear to still be largely as they've always been on these rivers, where humans are essentially left to the mercy of the vagaries of nature. And I do think personally that the most important thing that could happen with these rivers in Nigeria is the development of modern electricity, transportation, and agricultural infrastructure. Something on the ambitious scale of the National Water Carrier of Israel, which I talked about earlier. This is one of those sort of moon landing type of ideas that I wish would catch the imagination of Nigerians, because it would task our organizational, political, financial, and collaborative capacities to the maximum. And I think that in itself would be a good thing, just that tasking of our abilities, quite apart from, the objective, the goal of finally taming the great rivers for the purpose of commerce and human development.
Right. Okay. Fascinating. So I think one other question I wanted to ask was, whenever the River Niger comes up in Nigeria as a policy discussion, whenever the government is talking about it or politicians are talking about it, it never seems to get past the question of dredging. So this is I mean, dredging the River Niger is something that has been going on for all of my life. And pretty much every government is guaranteed to budget some amount to dredging the river. Obviously this cannot be, dredging is important, but it can't be the only thing we should be talking about. So what else? I mean, in modern day Nigeria, what else should we be talking about the river beyond just budgeting amounts for dredging? And how should we expand the conversation about the river for us as a country?
This is a great point, and as you can imagine, I come across a lot of because I work in infrastructure, I come across a lot of discussions around dredging, dredging sea channels, and also dredging of the River Niger, as well as dredging of the lagoon in Lagos, and all kinds of dredging discussions come up. I do think that it's possible that the value of dredging, as a solution is overstated, especially because it's not always the appropriate solution, because you have to think about the initial cost of doing it as well as ongoing maintenance cost of doing it, both of which are quite substantial relative to the resources of the country or relative to whatever economic activity you can do with a dredged river. So personally, I do think that it needs to be a more holistic discussion beyond dredging. And that holistic discussion can only come from having a complete and thorough understanding of the river basin, understanding of how it is evolving,
because it's an evolving water body, and there's ongoing geological change and ongoing bathymetric changes to the river at any point in time. And so having, you know, up-to-date information on the status of the river will allow us to determine what should be done in what sections. And some sections may be more appropriate to be dredged. Some sections may require more of a canal or a dam or pipes to, you know, either flow water in into the river or out of the river for the purpose of irrigation. So it's a much more comprehensive idea that needs to be explored around maximizing the use of the river for the benefit of the humans who live up and down this unbelievably important water body.
Right. So I guess maybe once the book is out, we should get 360 copies and send to all the members of the National Assembly.
Well, I hope they read it.
But... Yeah. So maybe it will spark some conversation. Great.
Absolutely.
So that's it for today. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast for our book, Formation, The Making of Nigeria from Jihad to Amalgamation, being published by Cassava Republic and available to the public from around the 1st of October 2020, inshallah. We would really love to hear from you. You can leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/Nigeria Formation/message. The link is also in the podcast notes. Please leave your name and where you live in the voice message. We will play and answer your question in the next episode. You can also continue the conversation with us on Twitter by tagging our handles. Those are @FF, spelled out, and @FolaFagbule.
You can also get more information and updates online at www.nigeria-formation.com. Please sign up if you haven't already done so and spread the word to your friends and family as well. We look forward to speaking with you again soon about formation.